And so I use the word thief, T-H-I-E-F, because 90% of the time, my clients, myself, the people that I see in the world who are wanting to experience wealth, but they're not in one or more of these areas, is because they're stealing. They're stealing from themselves.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another ecstatic episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. Fellow ecstatics, I know we hear a lot about wealth, about abundance, but do we really always understand what that means? How do we experience that in our life? How do we tap into that? I have a feeling, I have this feeling, this hunch, this intuitive hit that today we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of this conversation with our wonderful guest here today, Angel B. Hartwell. Angel is an internationally known author, artist, and evolutionary alchemist. She is also the creator, the producer, and the host of 9-time award-winning podcast, The Wickedly Smart Women, which is where we met. So let's all welcome Angel to the show. Angel, of course, I'm so deeply honored to have you here today.
Well, I am deeply honored to be here, Alara. I love that, our web has woven together in many wonderful ways, and I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Always such a way with words you have, Angel. I love it so much. And so when we were first connecting, you had mentioned about deepening, widening to receive wealth in all forms. Let's start the conversation off. What does that mean to you?
Well, so there are multiple layers of our experience in the world. We have our spiritual experience, we have our mental experience, we have our emotional experience, and then we have our physical experience. And from my own personal experience, as well as working with, hundreds of people all over the world and being heard by millions of people all over the world, what I've come to understand in this idea of deepening is no matter what we describe wealth as being, whether it's, material in the form of money, or if it's emotional in the form of relationships, or if it's spiritual in the form of our, full alignment with our purpose and feeling our spirit full. Our work really is to bring our essence into form. And, for most of my life, I wasn't aware of it until I was almost 40, I was out. I was like really out. And I didn't discover my outness until I was at a yoga class. And it was when I began my yoga practice when I was 38. And the teacher said, look down at your heart. And I couldn't look down at my own heart. So I didn't even realize, due to lots of, trauma in my childhood and throughout my young adulthood, that I was pretty much dissociated a lot of my life. And even though I was successful financially in many ways, it was never real for me. It was never enjoyable for me. It was certainly not ecstatic for me by any stretch of the imagination. So to get to the question of deepening and widening, the work for me and for many of the people that I serve has been to bring our spirit in to our physical form and really ground it deeply into the earth matrix, deeply into right relationship with the earth itself.
been my experience as well. And ironically enough, I was literally in meditation today and was bringing, just through my higher self, bringing my divinity all the way down into my root chakra. It just happened today, ironically. I hadn't thought about that until this moment. So I know you talked a little bit about, you know, not being able to see your heart, because I feel like this is a really important conversation. For me, I definitely had the same experience. You know, I didn't enjoy my life and I was absolutely disassociated. I think there's so many people walking around in this way. So when it comes to the conversation of wealth, how can we help people to maybe recognize that they are not really in this space of deepening and widening and embodied?
Yeah. Well, so first let's define wealth, right? So my definition of wealth, I like to use the mnemonic device. I like to use mnemonics. And so I use the word thief, T-H-I-E-F, because 90% of the time, my clients, myself, the people that I see in the world who are wanting to experience wealth, but they're not in one or more of these areas, is because they're stealing. They're stealing from themselves in one or more of these areas. So time, your health, your imagination, which is a combination of your intellect and your intuitive capacity, your ecosystem of exchange, and then fun. The fun factor with your friends, family, and fellows on the journey. So let's begin by saying wealth is the sum total of all of these resources. It's not just one or another. And where money falls into this is in E, in the ecosystem of exchange. And it's literally only 20% or even less than 20% of a truly wealthy life, in my definition. So in terms of the deepening and widening into that, first we have to be really honest with ourselves. Like, where am I stealing? Where am I stealing from myself? And I'll just use myself right today as an example, since we're playing in today. I had two podcast interviews before this that for my own show, and I had an hour between the end of one and the beginning of this. And it's the end of summer here where I live. And the pool is closing. And so I said, okay, I could just stay like dressed with my hair done and everything and, you know, just find something to fill this hour with. Or I could take off all my clothes, take off my earrings, get in my bathing suit and go to the pool. And so that's what I did, because for me, that was fun. That was fun. And if I'm not feeding my own fun factor, if I'm stealing from my fun factor, I could have stolen there. I am not going to come to whatever is next, in this case, this interview, from a place of fullness to overflow, right? And so I am choosing consciously to only serve from overflow, which means it's my job to make sure that my cup is always full in all of these areas.
And I think fun is probably one of the first one that goes out the door, particularly in any context of, I mean, well, I've only got an hour, right? Or I've got a busy day, or however we look at our situation. And just as we said before, when we're realizing that we're not enjoying our life, when we can honestly say that there's that aliveness, that ecstatic expression is missing, we're not really wealthy. I love how you said the 20%. I mean, I think that really puts things into perspective. 20% being money. So what about the rest of it? Where is the rest of it? Are you filling your cup up with the rest of it? And so when you're helping people connect to this, what are some primary questions that you ask them to kind of explore this with them?
Well, and let me be really clear. It's actually even less than 20%. Because okay. if we think about the ecosystem of exchange, the ecosystem of exchange is where we are having financial transactions, right? But the ecosystem of exchange also requires relationship building. So if we only have five categories, the money is probably 10%, right? The money is probably 10%. So I actually have discovered that there are five ways that we ward off wealth. Okay, so now we've got our definition of wealth. There are five ways, and I actually found two more, so there's really seven, but we're only going to go with five. There are five ways that we ward off wealth. So to self-diagnose, if you are somebody who is chronically worrying about money or anything else, that would be, you know, if you're worrying about your health, if you're worrying about how much time you have available to you, if you're engaging in the activity of worry, you're going to be warding off wealth. You're going to ward off your wealthy life. The second one is withdrawing. So you're listening to this right now. Listeners, you are listening to this. You're watching this right now. You may be getting activated right now in this moment from what I'm saying, from the presence that I'm bringing, from the frequency I'm delivering, from Alara's frequency, her presence. You're lit. You're lit. And then you leave this experience and you pull back your energy and withdraw. And if you pull back your energy and withdraw, and this happens a lot when people go to events, they get all excited at the event and then they get home and they're like, flat again, because they've pulled their energy back from the change that's possible for them, right? The third is waffling. Waffling is, let's use an event again as an example. I go to the event. They are offering something from the stage that's going to help my entrepreneurship progress. And let's say it's a $10,000 offer. And I take the break, I go to the bathroom, my best friend calls and says, oh my God, that cruise to the Caribbean that we were talking about, or Greece or wherever is on sale, it's $10,000. So now I have the cruise ship or the entrepreneurship, the cruise ship or the entrepreneurship, the cruise ship or the entrepreneurship. And I don't make any decision, I'm waffling. And therefore both ships sail, right? So that's the third way we ward off wealth. The fourth is whining. Whining is generally over wine. And for boys, it's with beers. You know, there's whining over wine. There's belly aching over beers. And often that happens in collusion with other people. So if you're whining and you're drinking, you're lowering your frequency when you're drinking, you're also colluding. You're having all these people collude with what is not working in your life. Now, is there a place for you to go to talk about the things that aren't working in your life? Absolutely. Invest in a mentor. Hire Alara. Hire me. You know, go see your therapist. There is a place for you to be able to off-gas and vent things that aren't working well. This is about constantly complaining and whining and doing it in collusion where other people are adding their energy to your woes. That's going to ward off wealth. And then the last one is waiting on. And waiting on looks like waiting on the handsome prince to come along and rescue you. Or waiting on all of your colleagues, friends, sisters in spirit or in life, you know, like running, I see this all the time in groups on Facebook or mentorship groups where there's, and I did it. How do I know these things? Because I did it. Where you'll run around and take and help everybody else at the expense of your own business, at the expense of your own health, at the expense of your own psychological well-being. You're running around helping everybody else because women in particular have not been given the invitation to be ecstatic. We have been given the invitation to volunteer to be the emotional labor for everybody for free. Wards off wealth.
I think I've absolutely done all of those for sure. And the one that really comes up is the worrying. So explain a little bit as to why does worrying ward off wealth?
Oh, I love this question. So I'm a seer, like you are. And my seeing opened in my early 40s. And it's one of the tools that is in my toolbox for supporting my people. And when I see somebody who is worrying, what I see is this dark, gray, musty smelling. I mean, I can even smell it. Army blanket type thing that's wrapped all around them and all around whatever it is that they're worried about. So if you are worried about a child, if you're worried about your business, if you're worried about money, if you're worried about anything, you're literally encasing yourself and whatever you're worried about in this dense, dark, disgusting, gray, smelly energy. And nobody wants to participate in that except other worriers. Right?
And then you're all going to be whining, right? Together.
Exactly. Whining and worrying.
And warding off.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I can really feel that and see that energy. And I really love to point out what you're saying, Angel, that I think is so important. It's the worry about anything, right? Because I think, okay, the worrying about money, maybe they're not worrying about money. Maybe they're worried about time. Maybe they're worried about their kids. Maybe they're worried about their health. Maybe they're worried about COVID. Maybe they're worried about politics. Maybe they're worried about the world. Maybe they're worried, right? Mm-hmm. So it's worrying in general that wards off wealth. That's a very, very powerful statement. So what can people do instead of worrying?
Well, you know, the number one thing that you can do, if you find yourself navigating any of these things, if you resonate with any of these things, and I mean, I'm telling you because I've done them all myself. I've had clients that have done these things. I've witnessed it for the last, you know, 20 years that I've been in the entrepreneurial space. The number one most important thing you can do is ask for help. Like, ask for help. Ask for help from the divine. Ask for help from people who you resonate with. Ask for help around these specific things. And that is the most powerful prayer that you can actually put out there is help me. Because we get so in our head and so isolated that what ends up happening when we're engaging in any of these things is we go in this downward spiral. And again, if you're colluding, if you're whining over wine, now the downward spiral momentum has been added to the downward spiral, right?
You've got weights to your ankles.
Right, you've got weights to your ankles. So you definitely need some. I mean, I just went to the pool. You need somebody to come out with a hook and like get you out of the drowning in it, right? Of drowning in it. And sometimes this is divine intervention. In my life, there was no doubt it was divine intervention. So I think that for many people, we do require divine intervention to, you know, snap us awake. The awakening is stage one. The getting out of the pit is where you really need to ask for the help and hire people who are already where you would like to be, who are embodying, who you can feel at a core, deep, ecstatic level. Like when I know, I'm grabbing my boobies. I'm like, yes, that's the next step for me. That is the person that is going to help me. That is the program that's going to take me to where I'm going next. And you don't need to be drowning. You know, you don't need to be drowning. You can actually, ideally, begin to, as one of my clients says, shorten the refractory period. I love that. How do we shorten the refractory period? You catch yourself worrying, like, how do we shorten that refractory period so that we're not weighted by these habits and patterns and conditioning? Yeah. So the number one thing is ask for help. Now, with worry, I like to help my people shift from worry into wonder. And wonder is really reclaiming your childlike sense, your creativity, your play, your sensuality, you know, everything that's second chakra is where we want to be in order to have that antidote to worry. a child isn't worried about anything. They're just running around doing their thing, right? And so we want to be in a state of wonder as the antidote to worry. The antidote to the whole thing is ask for help.
I absolutely think we underestimate the power of that, like asking for help and being willing to receive, right? Being willing to receive the answer, being willing to receive the help. Sometimes it doesn't always come through in the way we think it's going to come through, or let's be really honest, the way that we want it to come through. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just want a handout, right? And sometimes the answer is, yeah, buckle up, buttercup. Like, you got some work to do, right? But here's your answer. Here's the help. Here's the support that you're asking for. Exactly. And I love how you bring in, you know, the feeling your boobies when you're, you know, connecting to your mentor or who you're feeling aligned or what that step is, because it is that bliss hit, that ecstatic, that excitement, that, wow, when I feel into taking this step, taking this action, aligning with this person, I get lit, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we want, because that in and of itself is going to shift our vibration, right?
Exactly.
Shift, light us up, shift us, expand our aura immediately, even outside of actually taking action and learning and growing through that person. So
exactly, absolutely right. And beautiful. Let me say that, you know, part of the work is learning to trust your knowing, is really learning to trust your knowing in a way that you're going to take what I like to call inspired action. You take inspired action. This is not about taking action just for action's sake, because I believe that there are plenty of people who are out there, we'll call them the walking dead, right? Or the walking warriors, right? Not the walking warriors, the walking warriors, who are maybe constantly in action, but they're in action that is not inspired. They are in, you know, they have been seduced by the culture of busy. And they have been conditioned to believe that they need to look productive, when in reality, what they're doing is draining their fuel tanks and, you know, looking good on the outside, but on the inside which is where I was 20 some odd years ago. Well, everything looked great on the outside, but I was dead on the inside.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the inspired action part too, because it's unique for each of us, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And that's where, when we feel that inspiration, that's what's saying to us, yes, 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 this is for you. It's very easy for, you know, Joe and Bob and Susie to tell us what we have to do, right? The things that we need to do. But if that's not inspiring us, if that's not lighting us up, if that's not making us want to grab our boobies, then is it really for us, right? And that's that trust that you're speaking to, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's very easy to take on what other people have done. You know, you see everywhere, like, the one way to blah, 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 right? And it's like, there is no one way. We're all absolutely unique. And so being able to align and feel that lit and feel what is true for you and trust that is such a powerful piece of wisdom for everybody to connect to.
Yeah, well, and again, I want to bring us back to that childlike sense of wonder, where we are at, you know, the young age of maybe 7 to 10, our sacral chakra is coming online, right? And so we have yet to get the mental body programmed fully. And so we are in this amazing state of curiosity and experimentation and flowing by feeling, rather than flowing by, you know, what we've been programmed to believe we should be doing. So anytime you hear yourself shoulding yourself, don't should all over yourself, because that's messy to clean up, okay? And I want to say about inspired action, for me, it is a bodily thing where I do want to grab my boobies, where I feel that excitement. But it's also like a knowingness that's like, it's in every pore of my being. It's like, I just know. And I have made hundreds of thousands of dollars of investments myself, oftentimes in things that if you looked at it intellectually, you'd say, why is she doing that? That doesn't even make sense. But because I had the knowing, like one example, I invested in a mentor after I had spent 5 years with like the cream of the crop mentor and hundreds of thousands of dollars. All of a sudden, this other person came into my field and my knowing was, you need to invest to work with this person. And my mind was like, why? Why would we be investing to work with this person? It's like going from shopping at Tiffany's to shopping at Sears Essentials. I don't get it. Why am I going here? And it was clear. It was like, you're going to make this investment, make the investment. So I made the $10,000 investment. And within, so here's the secret, Alara, is it's not about the data that you're getting, because we can get data on the line, you know, on Google for free. It's about the frequency you're getting. And it's about the cosmic dates you're making. And it's about the answers to the thing that you really need the answer to that is why you're making, in my case, that was why I was making the investment. And within 60 days of this year-long thing, I had one 15-minute conversation with the woman's lead coach. It wasn't even with the mentor. It was with her lead coach. And in 15 minutes, I got the entire $10,000 worth of value. So like we have to let go of these ideas of, oh, I need to be in this thing for a year and I need to consume thousands of pounds of content. No, it's about what is it that is going to take you to where your essence is going to thrive. This is the thing about a wealthy life, is we're here to thrive, not just survive. And ideally, we're here to thrive ecstatically.
Absolutely. Hello. Now why we're here. And I love this because it's also the converse. You know, I've spent a lot of money on things that my mind was telling me I needed for my business. You know, this is what you do with a business. And my intuition was saying, are you sure about that? And I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I need for my business. And then, you know, it didn't pan out because it wasn't really what I needed in that moment. So absolutely. And I love how you say it's a body feeling, right? We have to get comfortable with how does this feel in my body? That's such a powerful question that if you can't answer that question just in and of itself, all right, you've got some work to do, right, to get into your body. If you don't even know, I don't know what this feels like, right? I don't even know what my body feels like. Then there's some work there in embodiment. Absolutely.
1,000%. And, you know, I'm myself, I'm still deepening, widening, and welcoming my spirit, right? Yeah. I mean, let's think about it for a moment. Not think, let's contemplate for a moment, right? The infinite source has the entire universe functioning. There's a sun in the sky. There's ground under our feet. There's food that's being provided by the tree people. It's like where do we think we have greater awareness than the universal source? It's so arrogant.
Arrogant.
It is arrogant to believe that even that we're the peak of evolution, because let me tell you, we're not. We're not the peak of evolution. Homo sapiens is not the peak of evolution. It did not end with Homo sapiens.
And I love that we use the word arrogance, because I was actually connecting to this today as I was bringing in more of my divinity in all the way down into my root chakra, into my pussy. All this arrogance was like streaming out and I was crying and bawling. It was a beautiful experience. And, you know, the arrogance is also this belief that we know what's really best for us, right? And this comes back to the conversation of wealth, because we can get very narrow-minded. And I have absolutely done this. I need this. Meanwhile, the universe is trying very desperately, or not so desperately, just trying to give you
all the different things in different ways, through different avenues, through different receiving modalities. And we're so fixated, insisting that we have to receive it in this manner, that we don't see what is attempting to come to us. And so one of the things we were talking about was deepening, widening, and welcoming, right? And I get the image of like opening your arms and absolutely dropping the arrogance. We're all arrogant. And to presume that we're not arrogant is arrogant.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I also want to say we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Okay? So what I mean by that, and especially for women, I find this especially for women. I mean, we came into a world where we've been conditioned to believe that boys are smart at math. Girls aren't smart at math, right? So, I mean, that was when I was growing up, for sure, right? And so I want to make sure that we honor our intellect and we are willing to clearly ask for what we believe to the best of our ability we want and require, right? So it doesn't make sense to not have, certainly as an entrepreneur, some general idea of how much financial flow your business requires in order to be functional and operational, right? So we do need to have the kind of the bumpers on the bowling alley thing, right? You know, those bumpers on the bowling alley. We need to have the bumpers on the bowling alley in the form of the math that says, okay, I have this much time available to me. I have this experience that I want to provide to people. I have these team members that I require in order to show up at my best, because we don't want to show up to serve our clients like raggedy ass. That would be stupid. And we don't want to be using our time doing things that are outside of what our highest and best frequency of transmission is. Like, it doesn't make sense for me to do the bookkeeping, okay? Let's be real about that. Doesn't make sense, even though my mom taught me to bookkeep when I was 7, right? I do my math, though. And so we want to make sure that we marry our intellect with our intuition, and we make our decisions to the best of our ability, relying more on our intuition, but also within this framework of some level of self-responsibility to what is actually our requirements in order to thrive financially and otherwise in the world. So I think it's both. I think it's we want to welcome both. We want to welcome and marry them in a harmonious marriage rather than in a marriage that's combative.
Absolutely. And I love how you say leaning on the intuition, but having that logic. Our minds are such powerful tools, right? Like when we put our awareness to, we put our focus, what we set our intentions to, our energy naturally flows. So it's such a powerful tool to use our minds and follow our intuition for that aligned action. Yes.
And inspired action. And I do want to say, you know, what you said before about welcoming, I think that it's also important to remember when you put your prayers out, shut the fuck up, right? Don't worry, right? Don't worry. You put your prayers out, expect that you're going to get an answer. It may not show up in exactly the form or in exactly the timing that you wanted. However, most of the time when we are, and this is what I call the state of grace. You do all the best that you can do. You use your intellect, you use your intuition, you pay attention to when you're doing the things that are going to ward off wealth, you shorten your refractory period, you put in your orders to the upstairs team. This is what I would like from the kitchen, right? And then you are in the state of grace. Like, you don't go to a restaurant, Alara, and order, you know, the filet mignon with a side salad and a baked potato, and then 4 minutes later say, oh, it hasn't got here. Forget that. Let me instead have a watermelon and corn on the cob and a piece of chocolate cake. Like, what's happening in the kitchen is now you've got all this confusion, right? So part of our work is to learn to cultivate the state of grace and to be trusting. We'll come back to the word trust. Trust our intuition, trust our intellect, trust that when we hire people to serve us and work with us, that we're going to get their best and we're going to get out of that experience exactly what we most require, and trust that the universe knows better always about, you know, what's getting delivered in the way, the form that it's getting delivered. Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that I've dealt with a lot myself. And it's one of those, you know, for me, it's like, yeah, you're ordering the steak. You're ordering what really, really lights you up. Like, I would just love to have that steak. And then you're compromising, right? You're lowering your values. You're lowering your quality. You're lowering yourself because, as you said, it's not showing up or whatever reason. To be able to hold that intention without worrying, without wavering, without all the warding off of wealth is really the practice, right? It is really the practice, in my opinion.
Yeah. Being willing to be in the state of grace, it is the practice. And I would add to that practice that it is absolutely essential to celebrate when even the smallest little hint of something shows up, and not to lower your standards, right? If you say, this is my standard, this is what I require, and I am willing to surrender to the universe sending, delivering what is of highest good to me, and then, you know, you get what is it when in Hansel and Gretel, the little like food that gets left on the trail, you get the crumb. You've got to not look at the crumb and say, oh, that's just a crumb. I don't want that crumb. Right? You want to say, oh my goodness, look, a crumb has landed. What does this mean? It means that it's working. Something's happening. It means that I'm aligning. And when we look at the crumb and we dismiss it, we have collapsed our intention. We have dishonored our own integrity. We have dissociated. We're probably out of body. We are probably all up in our head thinking about, well, I need it by now and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And if that doesn't happen, then that's going to happen. We catastrophize. We project problems onto our future. Instead of, you know, think of yourself, oh, look, between 7 and 10, oh, look, a crumb. What is this? What does this mean? What does this mean? Right? And being in a state of joyful, open expectancy, that it means nourishment is right here in front of you. Here's some nourishment, right? Yeah.
Yes, that word nourishment has really been circulating around lately in the collective, and it's really delicious for the body because it really equates to all of wealth, right? Nourishment, like the way that we nourish ourselves with food, with water, with love, with, you know, time together with people, with nature, with animals, with our family, right? With money, with joy, with celebration, all the ways that we nourish ourselves. So it's a really, really delicious word. And I love the celebration because it's just fun to celebrate. And when we celebrate, our energies expand and we're joyous and we're also open, right? There's an openness of like,
wow, this just happened. What more is to come? That ecstatic, that excitement, that availability to opportunity rather than the close down, the contraction, and the non-welcoming energy. Right. So, yes.
Well, celebrate. And, you know, fun is one of the five key resources, right? It is a definition of a wealthy life. And I'd like to point out, F-U-N are the first three letters in the word funds. So, you know, if you're intending to have funds come into your ecosystem of exchange, fun is an absolute key element to allowing for that to happen. And to it is like a strange attractor. You know, if you think about, again, we'll go back to an event. Think about going to an event and you are watching somebody speaking at that event and they're lit up and they're not hypey. We're not talking like over the top hypey, yucky stuff. We're talking like they're alive. They're fully alive. They're enjoying themselves. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can see it. And then you have somebody up there who's like, rigid or super hypey. You know, you can feel it and you don't, you know, who wants, I mean, the people who go with the super rigid person are going to be super rigid people. They're not my clients anyway. They're not your clients. You know what I mean? They're not our clients anyway, right? And the people that are going for the hypey person, they're not our clients. They're not our clients. And so just trusting that when you're embodying your own enthusiasm, which means with spirit, with God, with source, when you're in your enthusiasm and you're present in the present moment and you're having fun and you're enjoying yourself and you are embodying your ecstasy, you're going to be welcoming wealth in all its forms.
Yes, welcoming. Just even the terminology welcoming wealth feels so good. Mm-hmm. So, Angel, tell us, how can people reach out to you? How can they find you? What's the best way?
Well, I have a fun quiz. They can go to quiz.wealthylifementor.com, and the quiz will tell them what their wealth readiness is. Mm-hmm. And it measures, you know, across all five of these resources. It's very short quiz. It only takes like 4 minutes or something to do. And that brings them into my world and gives them some information about, you know, what their level of wealth readiness is. And I will say that even if you're in a very welcoming place for wealth, there's always room to adjust and refine so that you become even more welcoming and even more appreciative of the wellness that is, you know, well is the core. It's the base of this word wealth is being well, right? So we'd love to have you come to quiz.wealthylifementor.com or tune into the podcast, Wickedly Smart Women. You can certainly listen to Alara's award-winning episode, because her episode, which one was it? This one right here.
Celebration.
Yes, episode number 194. This is the celebration for Alara. You can listen to Alara's episode on the Wickedly Smart Women podcast, episode number 194, and celebrate with both of us.
Yes, yes, yes. Excellent. Okay, so on that note, we are going to welcome wealth through our activation. Let's see what shows up today.
I have a little something for you before you go into the activation. If you're going to go into the activation, I want you to go in like a chalice. I don't know if you can see my arms here, but like hold your arms open like a chalice, like you're welcoming. We are welcoming wealth. I'm ready. Are you ready?
Okay. All right. So I always say to everybody, if you're driving, you can keep your eyes open. And no matter what, whatever you feel, whatever you experience is perfect for you. Just be available to the experience. So let's hold our hands up like a chalice, right? Welcoming the energy, welcoming the wealth. And let's just start by breathing into our bodies, breathing in through our noses, exhaling out through our mouths. We're just really calling this wealth in right here, right now with our breath. And I want you to breathe all the way down to your body. So this chalice is the entirety of you, my love. Make this chalice all of you. Breathe all the way down to your pussy, all the way down to your root. Okay, with each inhalation, breathing and opening, expanding yourself. Exhaling, letting go. Breathing and opening, expanding, exhaling your pleasure, exhaling. Yes. Breathing in all the way down, exhaling. As we're connecting to the energy of our pleasure, connecting to the energy of our ecstasy, and we're lighting up our energies right here, right now with our pleasure. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. How much pleasure can you really own in your body right now? Breathing all the way down. Letting it out. Feeling how delicious that feels to your body. Giving yourself permission to experience your own voice, permission to experience your own ecstasy, your own pleasure. Yes. Breathing down. I want you to keep breathing. I'm going to start to bring in some sound. We're calling it all the way down to your root chakra, all the way down, calling down from your crown, all the way through your body, all the way to your root chakra, your source, your divinity. Breathe it down there. Yes. Bringing in some sound. Just keep breathing. Yes, we're lighting up your root chakra. Yes, we're expanding you. Yes, we are deepening. Keep breathing into your body. Utilize the tool of your breath, holding your hands wide and high. How much can you hold? How much can you really welcome into your space? Breathing in. Body, I want you to think of the things in your life that fulfill you, the things in your life that bring you nourishment. Breathing into your body, thinking of these things, bringing them in with your imagination as we are energetically lighting up your body, lighting your body up with nourishment. Breathing that nourishment into the body, breathing that nourishment into your root chakra, breathing that nourishment into your nervous system. Yes, into your heart. Yes. Breathe it in. All of those experiences, those people, those things that bring you, fulfill you, create that feeling of nourishment in your body. Think of them, feel them, and breathe them in. Ooh, I love you. I love you. I love you. Yes. Proclaiming, exclaiming, yes. More of this in my life, more of this nourishment. Yes. Permission. Yes. Celebration for that which already exists now, the nourishment that you already feel in this moment, the celebration, the recognition, the honor and the gratitude for that. Yes. Ah, beautiful. And one more nice deep breath. Yes. And so it is. By the perfection of three, the divine trinity, it is complete. Aho. We filled it up.
Grandmother knees.
All the tingles.
All the way to the toes.
Angel, my love, as always, it's such a pleasure to share space with you and to delight in this conversation. Thank you so much for being on here today with me.
Thank you so much for the platform and for all that you are doing to create more ecstasy on this beautiful planet. I welcome more ecstasy as much as I welcome wealth.
Absolutely a form of wealth. Excellent. And so, fellow ecstatics, be sure to reach out to Angel. Take that quiz. Where are you on this space? Where can you bring in more wealth? Where can you welcome more wealth? Connect to her amazing podcast. And as always, be sure to share this with who you think might be in that worry phase, might be wafting, might be pushing away, warding off wealth. Share this episode with them. Be sure to subscribe. And until next time, I love you so much.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.